With the word narcissism being tossed around like candy all over social media and everywhere else, it can become very challenging for parents to find the right information in order to know if their child may be suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. This is a very serious condition and a very serious topic, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. So, for those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CEO of Being Connected. I'm also a registered early childhood educator with 20 years experience in the field. I help parents and educators navigate the realities of what it's like to raise a child in today's world. But don't get it twisted. When you're working with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the pride and ego aside, and let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're watching or listening from. And of course, with this season, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Simone Alicia, with a wealth of resources on that site that I will put the link in the description and comments below. Highly recommend that you go check it out. It's a lot of resources, workshops, everything that can help you with your child's self-esteem, confidence, and so much more. So definitely is it worth having a look. Don't forget to check out that link. So we're gonna jump right in today. Another very serious topic, and this is why in the introduction I wanted to say is it's a very serious personality disorder. It's not to be taken lightly, and that's why before we get started with the signs that you could recognize in your child, I want to make it very clear to everybody who is using that term loosely that this word has a lot of meaning. This condition is very serious. It holds a lot of pain and a lot of trauma to both the person with the personality disorder or anyone around them. There's a lot there. So if you're using it because you think this is a trend, because it's going to make you go viral, it's going to get the attention that you're seeking, please stop. This is a very serious condition. Like I said, there's a lot of trauma involved, a lot of pain. Anybody who has suffered narcissistic abuse, and also for the person with narcissistic personality disorder. So stop it. It's not something to make fun of, or it's not something to throw out there just because people are not doing what you want them to do. You're not getting your way. It is a very serious condition, so look for your attention elsewhere. So that's my little message for those who don't understand how serious this is. And for those who don't know what narcissism is, you have to I'll kind of get into it. A lot of people will associate that word to vanity because of the mythological stories on narcissism. But that's not it's not that. This is based, it could be the image that you're getting off of a narcissist, but it goes a lot deeper, and this is why I wanted to explain it. It's a narcissism or somebody with narcissistic personality disorder. I will refer to it as NPD for short. This is somebody that has a grand sense of entitlement. There's this grandiosity of them. They make themselves out to be the best at everything, almost godlike. There's this very intense need for validation and attention, and there's a lot of interpersonal competitiveness there. If they feel like somebody would be better at them at something or would know more or be more intelligent, they will make themselves even bigger, more grandiose to compensate. And it is linked to some kind of traumatic experience or experiences. It could be linked to PTSD as well. They kind of go hand in hand. A lot of emotional issues involved here. And I just want to make a quick note before I dive it a little deeper. It tends, from what we can see, is it is it can be related to a person's resiliency. And the reason why I'd say that is because you could have a family with children who are going through the same childhood traumas, but not every child is going to become a narcissist. So this is why I mean that there's resiliency has a factor, it has a play in there. So What happens is with the trauma that this individual will go through, there will come a point where the pain is so much that they're actually going to disconnect from themselves. So the subconscious mind kind of protects you from getting hurt, from enduring pain. So they completely shut down and they pull apart. They kind of get ripped apart for who they are. There's a disconnect from self. So because they don't know who they are anymore at the core, it's that they've lost that connection. They feel empty. They're empty. There's a void inside, and they need to fill that void. So they will look for it externally. They will look for sources of whatever it is that they need, whether it is love, validation, worthiness. They can't self-validate. They can't self-love. They can't self, they don't know that they're enough. So they're going to look at from outside the sources, which we call supplies. And as they grow older, they're going to need more and more and more supply to fill that void. So there's that sense of that grandiose self-concept. I am the best at everything. I need to be the best at everything. Everybody's admiring me. So that they kind of build that up because there's no self-esteem. They have very low self-esteem to begin with. So they need to feel that. They need to fill that up. And that concept, that self-concept, can lead to certain behaviors in order for them to maintain that false reality that they've created. So they will do pretty much anything that they can when they're being questioned with the world that they've made up. They kind of created this bubble around themselves to protect themselves where they are the best. And then they live in a perfect world that takes them away from the pain that they've had to go through. So once we question that reality, that fake reality, once we question their intentions, when we question their behaviors, we're threatening that protective bubble. So they will do anything that they can to keep it intact. And that's why you see these abusive behaviors, these negative behaviors that pop up. Now it's very difficult to see exactly what it is that can kind of trigger NPD, but there are some common factors, and I'm gonna list them. But doesn't mean that because you've gone through this or because somebody's gone through this that it will automatically become an arc. But the common factor is usually related to violence or neglect. So most of the time, this is what you'll see. But people tend to forget to talk about the other side of it. It can also be because they were overpraised and overprotected as children. So in that case, the child is raised. We had an expression when I was growing up. It's like the prince or the princess, where everything they do is amazing, and they're the best at everything. They're the most beautiful person in the world, and on all of that. And then they're taken out of that environment to go to school or whatever, and then they're quick to realize that there's some people that are better than them at what they thought they were the best at. They may look at some people and say, well, this person looks prettier than me, right? Or is stronger than me. So now we're shattering that make-believe world that was created by the adults when they were children. So there's that point as well, where they can create a trauma that will disconnect them from self. They don't know who they are anymore. The adults have lied to me. This is what they'll basically be thinking. They told me I was the best. They told me I was, the prettiest, the strongest, the smartest. And that's not true. So there's an intense betrayal from the only people that they trusted their entire life up to now. So we have to look at this. The common factor is usually violence, abuse, neglect. But it can go on the other side as well. So it's very difficult to know the exact cause, like I mentioned earlier, because it's so complex and multifaceted. But a lot of the times it would be either because there was a lack of empathy towards the child. There's some childhood rejection. They're either overly praised, like I mentioned, or overly judged. So whatever the child does is never enough. And this is why they kind of lose themselves. They don't know. They know they're a good person, but they're constantly told that they're bad. There's a lot of trauma and abuse, unfortunately. That's usually what it stems from. But it's hard to tell. And it is also hard to know why it happens. So there's some theories that it could be because if they come from narcissistic parents, then it's a learned behavior that their children will mirror and mimic what they see at home. So if they have a narcissistic parent, they will naturally imitate that person. Could be genetics as well. Like most mental illnesses, like it could be a genetic thing. A lot of the times it stems down to the trauma. And again, the trauma, it's not the trauma itself, it's the emotion that they attach to the trauma. That's why in a family, not all children will have NPD. It's just the way that they've associated that trauma, the pain, to the emotion that they attached it to. So it is very hard to detect. I've done some work and studied and researched adults that are diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. And working with children for a couple of decades, I did get curious to know if there's a way that we could kind of detect it early on. There are some signs, but it's very hard to detect to begin with because the children know that they're different at a very early age, depending on where the trauma would have happened or where the detachment from self happened. They know this is very smart individuals, and as children, that they will reach a point where they know that they are different, and so they won't react to emotions or events the same way as the people around them, and they will notice that. They will notice that people attach themselves to certain things that they don't understand why. So they will know that they are different, and that at an early age, you don't want to stand out. You don't want people to think that you're different. So at a very early age, they learn to observe people, how they move, how they talk, how they react, what triggers them. They will observe and take notes, and then they'll start mirroring people around them in order to fit in. So it's hard to detect the signs because the children at a very early age learn to put on these masks to blend in. And so they fly under the radar with it. And they are very smart, so they know how to manipulate their way out. When they do, it is exhausting to pretend to be somebody you're not. And so there'll be some slip-ups, but they're very good at manipulating their way out of that as well. So it's hard to detect early on. It's even harder sometimes later on in the adults, but eventually the adults do kind of slip up more often than children do. So I will dive right into the signs. I've given you a global look at what narcissism is, but for signs in children, you can kind of notice them even as early as 7 years old. I've seen it at earlier. Could be 4 or 5, again, depending on the level of trauma or when it would have started. If there's a lifetime of abuse from birth, you will see it a lot earlier in their development. But again, the signs that I'm going to give you doesn't mean that if your child is displaying these signs, that they're automatically they did not automatically have NPD. It just means that it's something that you may look into if you have a combination of those. So one of the first, of course, because it's narcissism, that grandiosity, they will believe that they're better than everybody. And again, that's very broad because most children will always believe that they're better than everybody, right? Look at me, I can jump, you know, look how high I can jump. So it doesn't mean that, you know, and we praise them for, yay, you walked, you know, so we're giving them that. It's a difference between congratulating a child and then the child just saying, no, I'm the best. And if we question that, there's some serious, very intense emotions that come along with it. So they believe that they're better than everybody. They could have difficulty making friends because they're not themselves, because they're putting on a show all the time. They're mirroring people. It can be difficult to make friends because there is no interpersonal relation. Everybody that's around them and the interaction that they have with people around them is transactional. It's for them to get something out of that person. People are objects, they're not humans. So it's hard to get that relationship going with friends. And if they do manage to get a friend, a lot of the times they will not be able to maintain that friendship because they latch on to this person, and this friend will not be allowed to interact with others. You are mine. It's a possession thing. You're my supply, and you're going to be mine. So children, of course, after a while will move away from that. And it is children that believe it's their right to be the center of attention. So if they notice somebody else getting attention, they'll do something bigger to bring that attention back to them, because again, they need that self-validation. They need that sense of admiration from others. So it's not always going to be a positive way of getting attention. If they're noticing somebody else getting the attention, they've become the center of attention, let's say because they've accomplished something that the child that may have narcissistic personality disorder has not accomplished, they will turn usually into a negative way so that the attention is taken away from the child that's getting the attention back to them. They will withdraw from people who are not giving them the attention. So because attention and admiration and validation is oxygen to a narcissist, if they're not getting it from the person that they're in transacting with, I don't think that's a word, but if you know, if they want to get supply from that one person, but they're not getting it, it's like cutting off their air supply. So they're going to completely withdraw from that person that is not giving them the attention. They will cut them off as when they're adults, they will completely cut off these people. These people will not exist to them because they're not giving them the oxygen. They're not giving them the supply that they need. There is a great sense of entitlement for whatever they do, and they're entitled to everything they want. So in children, this could look like if they see another child play with a toy that they want, they will just grab it and say, "That's mine." Even if it's not, if it belongs to the other child, it is now mine. So they will take whatever it is that they want. If they're envious of their shoes, they will just take the shoes and say, "No, those are mine. Those are mine. I brought this." You know, they will be very, very adamant that it's theirs. There's that great sense of entitlement. Everything that they want is theirs. And again, most children are, but when you can reason with a child and say, "No, you know, we have to, if they're playing with this toy right now, we have to give them a turn," they will eventually get it. But for a child who may have narcissistic personality disorder, you're never going to get to that. There's an ability to understand other people's needs as well, again, because they're completely disconnected to self, and people are not people. They're just objects for them to get what they need, that they will not understand that people are also sad, that they could also be in pain, or that they're actually hurting somebody because they need their supply. They're not going to get that at all. So there's no sense of empathy there. They usually have this idea of limitless powers. They are unstoppable. They are invincible. They are the best at everything. And if they're not able to accomplish something that will get them instant validation or instant admiration, they'll start talking about impractical achievements. They need that praise. So for a child, what that will look like is, you know, "I am the best at sorting the blue, separating the blue crayons from the red crayons," which can be great to say, "Wow, you know your colors, that's wonderful." But no, they are the, but nobody else in the world can divide and make a blue pile of crayons and a red pile of crayons like they do. So this is kind of, I'm kind of generalizing it, but it continues on into adulthood. There is a very high level of self-importance. Again, these are all they come across like that, but you have to understand that on the inside, it's the complete opposite. So they do have this high level of importance, of self-importance. "I am the best. I am, you know, nobody else can be better than me. I achieve so much more." But on the inside, they're very insecure. And this is why it comes out like that, to compensate for the emptiness inside. They will avoid eye contact. This is a big sign, but it's a confusing sign because it's a lot of children will avoid eye contact when speaking to somebody. And so it could be a cultural thing where looking an adult in the eye when they're talking to you could be a sign of disrespect or a rebellious act. You're defiant, right? Or if you're on the spectrum somewhere, that you're not going to get that cue, that social cue that you should be looking at somebody in the eyes when you're talking to them. But for narcissists, it's a completely different thing. And in children, if they're not maintaining eye contact with their best friend, this is a sign that they could be something there. When they're talking to them, they're playing around, or they're just, you know, talking over a snack. There's no eye contact there. That could be a red flag for you as well. And another thing that they'll do is they'll put children, other people down, other children down, and they'll be very mean about it. They will put them down if they are envious of somebody, if they're jealous of another child, if the other child is getting the attention that they want. They will humiliate that child. They will punish that child. They will really put them down and just destroy the child's self-esteem to make themselves come up on top and bring that attention back to them. And they will even get other people involved in it just to make themselves get even more supply. You to get even more attention from other friends. So they'll do that. They're unable to self-validate, like I mentioned earlier, which is this is where it gets confusing. Especially with children. Adults, you can kind of see the patterns after a while, but in children, it's still new. They're still working on it. But they come across as such, you know, I am the best, look at me. And you know, they've got this self-importance. But that's not how they feel on the inside. They can't see their worth. They don't know who they are. They don't know how lovable they are. They don't know how great they are. They don't believe it. So they need to get it from the outside. So when they want to validate, they can't self-validate, so they get it from somebody. When they're talking about how great they are, how great they were at separating crayons, let's say, that they're looking for that validation for somebody. They're going to say, "Look, I did this," and the adult will say, "Wow, that's great." So now they got their supply, right? Yes, you're right. You can jump really high. That's how they get the okay. I can jump very high. They make up this world. Let's say, hey, look at me, I can jump high. But they need somebody to validate it for them. They can't do it themselves. There's another thing that you notice, and I've noticed this in adults that I worked with. I've had some experience both personally and professionally. But if they are stressed, if their false reality is questioned, if they're being called out on their behavior, they will regress when they are stressed. So you could see that in adults when they go into a narcissistic rage or a narcissistic collapse. Emotionally, you can see that they are no longer the adult. It goes back to their childhood. So they will behave like the 10-year-old. They will behave like an 8-year-old. It's almost like an adult tantrum, right? But in children, you will see the regression as well. So emotionally, the way that they act, they may be regressing because they didn't get the way that they wanted, or they're going through a very stressful time, and now they don't feel safe. So they will switch that way. Another really big sign that you will notice, but later on, of course, but you will notice that their language skills do not match their school performance. So I'll explain that a little bit because it could get a little confusing. But in order for your brain to, in order for you to learn new things, to problem solve, to think for yourself, to empathize, to process your emotions, you need to feel safe. Your basic needs need to be met. So because this person has lived through serious trauma, abuse, neglect, there's been a disconnect there. The brain is automatically into survival mode. So they can't really process information. They can't learn new things. The brain is just not able to absorb new information. So academically, they will not be performing very well. They are very intelligent people, very smart, but their brain at that point cannot process information, cannot learn new things. So academically, they will not understand what's going on in class. When they're a bit more calm, when they're getting a lot of supplies and they're being praised and they feel good, they will be able to learn new things. But most of the time they're struggling. They don't understand what's going on in class. So no, but they can't look bad. They're the best at everything, right? So they will again observe, mimic. So they observe the teachers, they observe, they take notes, they really study the adults, how they talk, how they move. So they will learn the vocabulary. They will learn the right terminology for things. So when they're talking, you really believe that they understand what they're talking about. They know what they're talking about. They're very smart. But internally, they don't. So you will see that you hear them talk. It can be almost intimidating, especially for other children, to say, well, you're using really big words. But it's just a front. So you will notice there that they are well spoken, but academically the grades are not there to kind of balance out. It doesn't match. There is no moral compass. That's another big one. They don't know right from wrong. For them, it's by any means necessary. If I need my supply, I need validation, I need attention, I need admiration. They will do it by any means necessary. So they will hurt people. And usually they will, because that's the quickest way for them to get supply. So they don't know right from wrong. And if you try, of course, children usually don't. We need to teach them that. But with this, a child that could have NPD, they really don't get it. They really don't understand. They'd be looking at you like you're the alien going, "What? That's what I wanted." They don't understand the other side of things. So that will be one as well. And they won't take accountability. They won't take responsibility. So that can go in two ways. They won't take responsibility as if they're given a task. They won't do it because they don't want to fail. They'll get somebody else to do it and then take credit for it. So as adults, that transfer as taking other people's work, taking the credit for it, right? Especially if it's somebody that's really good at what they do, they're going to want. They're going to manipulate that person into doing it for them and then take all the credit. And so they won't take responsibility for that. But if they do do it and they didn't do it right, they called out on it, then they won't take responsibility. "Well, so and so told me to do it this way. I wasn't really told. It's somebody else's fault." So they will start very early on. And again, children will sometimes, they don't want to get in trouble, they will sometimes say that. But when you start to explain to them that you do need to take accountability for what you do, children will get it. A child that is suffering from NPD will not. So this is kind of how you can tell. There's a lot of vague signs, but this is what it is. So again, the one thing you need to understand is if you're looking at a child, you can't think the way that this child thinks. So you're going to see a child act up and you're going to think, "Oh, they're just acting up." You need to really understand that this child is hurting inside. And this is the message that I want to put out there. They are in pain, constant pain. They're constantly beating themselves up. They're filled with shame because they think they don't understand and they don't understand why they don't understand. There's a lot of guilt because they know they're hurting people. They are aware of what they're doing. They just can't help it. They have to do it. So they're filled with shame, they're filled with guilt. So if we come at them when they're reacting, when we come at them aggressively, we're hurting them even more. We're feeding that guilt, we're feeding that pain, we're feeding that disconnect. So we have to come in gently. We need to take it easy, not always, but we do have to come and understand that this is not just a child acting up. There's something very serious here that we need to help them with. They need our help. They're not going to ask for it, but they need our help. So we need to give them a lot of love, even if they make it difficult sometimes. We need to accept it for who they are. It is a personality disorder. It is a condition. If you had a child that was paralyzed from the waist down and needed a wheelchair, they will need a wheelchair. They're not being lazy. So it's the same with a personality disorder, and it's for life. It's a personality. I don't think it's, this is where I get upset with people that use this word loosely, is that it's a disorder. It's a personality disorder. If you have a bad heart or a bad liver or bad kidneys, you can get a transplant and get a healthier organ. But you can't transplant a personality. That is who they are. Whatever trauma, whatever pain, and this is what people don't see because they get hurt from narcissists, right? But this person, this human being, was hurt so badly that they've been ripped from who they are. That's a lot of pain. So it's, we have to be compassionate about that. We need to accept them for who they are. Because they've had so much pain. We need to accept if somebody had a car accident and is now paralyzed from the waist down, we need to accept that. And people do accept that. "Well, no, I understand you were in an accident, you were hurt, and now you can't walk." But it's the same with NPD. They were hurt, and now this is who they are. So we need to accept that. So, how do you deal with a narcissistic child? Right. So the first thing you need to do as a parent, if you believe if these signs are showing up and you've got a lot of red flags, schools will be chiming in on that as well. Not with the diagnosis that your child will be narcissist, but they will tell you that there's some issues because those will show up more at school because they're interacting with more people. You need to get professional evaluation. You need to get a specialist to evaluate your child. You can't Google that stuff. You can't diagnose your child. You can't ask your neighbor who had a narcissistic wife If your child is narcissist, you need to get professional help. It is a very, very complex condition. There's some serious testing involved, and go seek the professionals who do this for a living, please. That's the first thing you need to do is get your child evaluated professionally. And once you have your real diagnosis, once it's the real diagnosis, then you're going to need to get ongoing support for your child. This is for life. So your child will need support for the rest of their life. And you're going to need support for yourself. So the parents also need to get support. And this is where it gets difficult with narcissism because it's something that's very hard to accept as a parent that your child may have NPD. So another reason why it doesn't get detected early on is because there's denial involved with a parent. So the parents don't want to admit that their child could have a disorder like that, or the parents are themselves narcissists, or they are the ones who created the trauma. So of course they're not going to come up and say, "Yeah, I did this." So there's an issue there, but you're going to need to get help yourself. You're going to need to get that support because you need to help your child to try to change some of those behaviors or put them back on track when they slip. So you're going to need that support. You're going to need a lot of support to maintain your boundaries and to help your child. When your child goes into a collapse or a rage, a lot of people will actually associate narcissists to being possessed by the devil. When they go into that rage, it is spectacular. They know how to manipulate you. They know how to control you. They know what makes you react. So they will come and attack you personally. So you will think, "This isn't my child. This isn't my child. You know, do I call an exorcist?" A lot of people believe that. But no, just seek professional help to help your child. It will happen. Unfortunately, don't forget that this is coming from severe pain and trauma. So you need to get that help, and burying your saying your head in the sand is not going to help your child. It's going to create even more trauma later on in their adult years. So if we can catch it early, we can give that individual the tools that they need to kind of try to regulate themselves. You need to set very firm boundaries. Narcissists will push the bound, that they will break that line. They will push that line every single time because this is how they get supplies. When you set a boundary and they walk, somebody crosses that line, you automatically react. And this is what they want. They want your attention. And as they grow older, they're going to want to seek out negative attention because that's the quickest way to get supply. So they will constantly be testing the boundaries constantly. And then if you let slip up once, then that's it. You've given them the right to step all over you. And so you have to stay firm on your boundaries. This is non-negotiable every single time. If you're tired and you're just like, "I just can't be bothered with this today," and you let it slide, that's it. You've lost control. You've lost control forever. So you need to set those boundaries, and you need support to make sure that you maintain those boundaries. You're also going to need to know. You need to learn to identify your child's manipulation tactics. This is the hardest one as a parent as well, is your child has been watching you, how you move, how you talk, what gets you upset, how you react, what they do when you get upset. They've been watching you from birth, right? They know how to control you. They know how to manipulate you. So you need to watch how they move. You need to recognize the patterns. You need to see how they talk, see how they set you off so that you can stop it when it's starting, right? You also cannot ever, ever tolerate abuse. They will try verbal abuse, especially. We're going to let that slide. You cannot let that slide. So verbal abuse is a no-no. We're going to have, that's a hard no. It's never acceptable. Because now you're teaching them to be abusive later on. This is why we call it narcissistic abuse, right? And you're going to have to call them out on their behavior, but in a gentle way. Otherwise, you're going to set them off and feed their whole belief that everybody is out to get them, that they can't trust anybody. So you're going to need to find a way to do it gently. And this is where the additional help will teach you how to word it properly so you don't set them off or you don't feed the fire. So You're gonna have to call them out on their behavior and say no, call them out on their lies, call them out on their manipulation tactics in a gentle way. You have to do it in a gentle way. We're naturally gonna want to react in a negative way, in an authoritarian way, and that's just gonna cut them off even more from reality. So we have to find that gentle way. This is pretty much what I can give you with that. Again, do not forget that the person that you're dealing with, that is a child or an adult, is in tremendous pain and had to create a persona that they are comfortable with. And so whenever that, and it's a false persona, it's not who they actually are, but they can't connect to who they are. So they've created this avatar of themselves. They've created a made-believe world. And so when you're questioning that, when you're threatening that, you get a whole other person. You get that split of a completely different human being. And looking at your child going through that is devastating for a parent. So don't deny it. Seek the help if you need to. I mean, the worst that can happen, and they say, no, your child doesn't have NPD, and at least now you can work on other things. But a lot of people give up on narcissists when they're adults because they're so abusive, because they hurt so many people in the quest of not hurting themselves, right? So a lot of people give up on them, call them demons, call them this devil, call them all sorts of things. They shut them out, which hurts, that adds to the pain, that adds to the trauma. We're validating their false sense of, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable. And now they can really shut down. So you need to come in gently and with love. You need to accept the fact that your child is that way. And this is what I'm going to leave you with, because this is the hardest part. As a parent, you need to accept the fact that there are things that you cannot change about your child. This is who they are, and you need to love them for who they are. You gotta have to work through it. But you have to understand that as they get older, the behaviors will get more and more aggressive and more violent. And you will come to a point where, unfortunately, you may have to make that heartbreaking decision that you have to walk away from your child when they're adults. When they're children, it is your duty to care for them. But once they're adults, there's only so much you can do. You cannot change somebody who doesn't want to change. And you cannot, it's not okay for you to take on all of that abuse because it's your child. There is a way to change, but they need to want to change. So if they don't want to change at this point, it's a choice for them to remain this way and to continue to treat you badly. So just understand that you're going to have to, you may have to go through this later on, and prepare yourself for it. And it's okay for your own well-being. If you need to walk away, you have to. And it's hard. It's hard, but that's what it is. It is like that. So sending you lots of love if that's something that you're going through. If you have any, and I'm sending your child lots of love as well. If you have any questions, if you'd like more information, because every case is different, reach out. I can definitely refer you to some people that can help you out with that. If you like to do a Q&A, I could do it live as well on social media to talk about it some more. But please just don't take it lightly. It's a serious condition. There's a lot of pain and trauma, so we need to come in with compassion, with empathy, and just know that at one point you may have to end it there because the person doesn't want to change. I've worked with some narcissists. I know some narcissists who have decided to go through psychotherapy for years. I mean, they've been doing it for 12 years, 10 years, and they're going to have to do it for life. But they see a difference. They see the pain that they've caused for the children, or people, or their own children, and other people around them, their loved ones. But they know that they still have that condition. So they still have these moments where it's difficult. But there is a way to have a better life, better quality of life, better interactions with others. They know that they are loved. but it's still a struggle because it's not natural to them. So I'm going to leave you with that. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And don't forget to check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy as well. And I'm wishing you all the best. Until then, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.